Welcome to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. Just a couple of quick announcements. We have invited everyone that's going to appear on your May ballot here locally to appear on a special 10-minute segment in this time frame on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, beginning on April 15th. And all have agreed to appear here, so mark that on your calendars. We'll have all of those interviews completed with the candidates just before the ballots come out, so you can make an informed decision. So, once again, this is the Tuesday Talk Show. So, we'll ask that you hold your calls until after the top of the hour news. However, if you want to write a phone number down right now, it's 541-472-1270. And, when you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air and let you hear your question live to our guest. Our guest today, from the Grants Pass City Council, Mayor Clint Scherf and Councilwoman Victoria Marshall. Thank you for appearing today. Welcome to the studios of KAJO. Glad to have you here with us.
Awesome. Thank you very much.
All right. Well, let's first, Mr. Mayor, thanks for coming. Let's just start off this way and say, what's on your mind right now, and what are your constituents telling you, Mayor?
Well,
what's on their minds?
The biggest thing I've seen lately is it's just gorgeous outside.
Yeah. All right, come back. Quit looking out the window.
Everybody I've talked to is like just ready for summer to get here. Spring is beautiful. Our trees are blooming, our flowers are blooming. It's a great time to be here. Just before all the allergies kick in.
Just before, huh?
Yeah, just before. If not already. But yeah, no. Realistically, I think a lot of things on people's minds right now is yes, the May ballot's coming out. We, as anybody knows that follows social media, that in the area here we've very opinionated people on social media and very amazing vocal people. So I just encourage everybody to educate themselves. Get out to know all the candidates and see. Make sure that you vote first and foremost.
By all means, yes.
Because the people that sit back and say that my vote doesn't count, that's it's not a way to believe. You need to believe that it's going to count, and it doesn't matter if you don't use your expression to vote, then it's all on you. Get out there, be educated, and please cast your ballots.
Right, and our primary elections are traditionally a low voter turnout, so let's amplify that this year.
No, exactly. I mean, if you just go back to the previous voter rolls from previous midterms and as well as the primaries, our turnout rate is low. It's very embarrassing. So I can't support people that get there and get behind and just kind of whine and complain about everything if they're not actually voting. So I know we have a unique situation where we may or may not like mail-in voting, but you know what? Do your due diligence, cast your ballot, walk it down to the courthouse. There's lock boxes. You can give it to the county clerk. Do your due diligence, do your duty, and get out and vote.
On the plus side of things, we have lots of community-minded people who are on the ballot this year. So
Yes. You have a lot of community-driven, very experienced people on the ballot, people that have lived, lifelong residents. I mean, it's people who are stepping up to make sure that they keep this area beautiful, prosperous, and we continue to grow in a positive fashion.
All right. Councilwoman Marsh, pardon me. You were saying something about those allergies.
Yeah, exactly.
Pardon my voice right now. We'll get that cleared up in just a moment. But Councilman Marshall, what are your constituents telling you? What's on your mind today?
Well, a couple of announcements I don't want to forget because these are fun things. There is a poster contest for the City of Grants Pass Annual Drinking Water Week. And the deadline is April 24th. So there are categories. You can design a poster. And this year's theme is Every Drop Counts. And there will be three winners chosen from each category. And for a chance to win $100, $75, or $50. And the categories are by age, I believe, and it's not on this poster, but you can go to the city's website and look up the poster drawing contest. So that's really fun for people of all ages. There's some really cute ones from years past that are on the wall in city council chambers. I know the people can't see it, but there's just
show it to them on the radio.
Yeah, show it to them on the radio. Just adorable drawings from younger children, and then some really great ones from the older kids. So I wanted to make sure and announce that there's also a tree climbing competition that's going to be in Riverside Park, and that is, I believe, it's coming up on the 10th through the 12th. So council voted to give permission for them to have that activity in the park, and that should it supports emergency rescue and things like that. So that's going to be coming up really shortly in the park. So those are just a couple of really fun things. Like Mayor Scherf mentioned, it's beautiful outside. We're having a wonderful spring, and my allergies came early for sure. But we do have some really wonderful things coming up. I wanted to, those are two. I have others, but we'll get to those, I'm sure.
All right. Well, we have an hour to fill. Victoria, this is your first time here, since you've completed your first year of service on the council. So in retrospect, is the service what you expected? Is it what you expected? Is there a difference? Are there things you'd like to see changed?
Oh, there are many things that I would love to see changed. I would love to make sure that our constituents, the people of Grants Pass, have access to their government and that they are able to affect it. I know that there may be some people who are asking. Just at our last council meeting, Mayor was not there, but people were talking about extending the public comment back to 3 minutes. I know that's something that we will probably be discussing soon, but that's a small issue. But overall, the issues are not necessarily even with the city, but they are between the city government and state law, where it's very difficult in some instances for people to affect their own community. And I would love to, so it's a much broader issue than what we are allowed to do on city council. And it really shouldn't be that way. So, but those are big ticket items and big questions that will need to be addressed by the entire electorate of the state.
All right. Can you elaborate on that a little bit? Let's see. Give the community more opportunity to have access to their local government. I know the city council meetings are open. I know your emails are always available and your phone numbers are always available. And are people taking advantage of that, or are they not? Do we need to do?
They are somewhat. I don't necessarily get as many emails as I thought that I would, but I do try to get back to all of them that are sent. And what I am talking about, well, let me give you a for instance. House Bill 3115, people's ability to regulate how activities are in their own town, surrounding homelessness in this case, and things like that. So the public is not necessarily able to have their voice heard on those issues because they are state laws. And that is, but as I said, that's a bigger government question, but I know that I would love to, as a city council person, be able to affect the best possible for our citizens. I know that it still remains the number one issue that people are concerned about is homelessness and activities things surrounding the issue of homelessness. So it would be great if the public were able to have more effect in their own backyard. But many of those things are governed by state law, and that is something, again, larger issue with government that really should be addressed. There should be much more power that goes back to local governments to be able to determine what the citizens would like to see in their own backyard.
Well, we do have state representatives and state senators. But you're talking about what council could do, or what are you limited in doing that you would like to do in order to achieve that goal?
Well, one thing that will be coming up, and we will be discussing this, I'm not announcing the outcome, because, and the mayor might want to weigh in on this, is we're looking at things like to look back into exclusion zones. I am not announcing that that is going to happen. Please, I want to be clear. But that is one thing that city council can do. So that's one thing coming up. We'll be looking into again. And I think it was 2018 it was looked at before.
All right.
Yeah, we have local... we have surrounding areas, surrounding neighborhoods, surrounding towns that actually utilize exclusion zones right now. And it's, you know, I've actually brought this topic up numerous times, and we're going to start actually diving into it and exploring it as a council body whole to see if it is a good fit, to see, you know, if there is a possibility for us to do it. Because I think the premise is what Victoria is trying to get across is, after being in council, after being in local government for over a year, you become very educated on what you can and can't do at a local level. A lot of people, a lot of our constituents, a lot of community members believe that we should be strong and solid. But when you actually get behind the veil of government, you understand that at a local level, we do not have as much control as we want. And so what, as a council, what we're trying to do, what I'm trying to actually help and lead and guide the council as well, too, is trying to figure out the small nuances that we can imply in our local ordinances, in our local area, that gives us a little bit more control, a little bit more power in our neighborhoods. And we're learning as much as we possibly can. We're uncovering things. We're exploring. We're pulling up the rocks and trying to figure out what's underneath them to figure out where we can actually, you know, gain some more teeth outside of the state level. But the biggest thing that me personally, I have experienced over the last, after swearing an oath last January was, or previous January, is the fact that we as local government do not have as much control as you really, really think. It actually defaults to a state level and then a federal level. So in that same topic, we're actually, as a city, as a governing body, we're trying to experience and educate ourselves. We actually have a DC trip coming up where I'm actually going to go with an executive staff member and a lobbyist to go and meet and greet people, advocate for our local community and our local state.
We'll get to that question too here momentarily.
So yeah, we're doing what we can, but I agree with Victoria. I'd like to see the community be more involved. They are involved, but they need to ask more questions instead of throwing as many rocks. The most amazing part is you do have a super engaged community. I employ people. Go to the YouTube while we're actually we're have a workshop or we have a council meeting going. There's upwards of 3,000 people that are watching that thing. I mean, that's kind of amazing for a small town like this, that there is so many people that are engaged and paying attention.
Well, talking about engagement, I mean, one of the reasons why the community input during a council meeting is 2 minutes is it was reduced to allow more people to speak because the city council chambers were filled.
Correct.
So the community seems to be engaged.
The community is engaged. It kind of falls off. It kind of depends on the topic. You know, everybody has their passion project, but you know, realistically, when you actually look at public comment, what we're going to call general public comment, every time the city actually does business, they have some judicial action that happens on the Wednesday nights. That is city business. Each business item has the ability for the public to weigh in on that same topic, on that specific topic. We're talking about general public comment in the very end. And this is for people to come out and air grievances or inform the council on items that specifically are underneath our jurisdiction. It kind of devolves from that point. But when you actually start to do research, there's a lot of small communities in the state of Oregon that don't even offer general public comment. So when they have a business meeting, they just do business. We offer 2 minutes because we got to a situation where it was a little bit too cumbersome to get through a 2.5-hour night. And, you know, nobody wanted to stay there till 1 o'clock in the morning. It will be a conversation that council is going to have to extend that timeline. With that, there will probably be some parameters that we talk about that are going to be imposed on the councillors themselves on parameters on talking. Because, you know, if you limit the public, you should actually be limiting everybody to make sure that these meetings go efficiently and try to stay on a time clock.
All right. Let's go back just for a moment or two here, because when we're talking exclusion zones and some of the other topics that have been brought up, are we talking primarily about the homeless situation?
Well, it's not pinpointed on that topic. It does spearhead from that topic, but it's not pinpointed on top. An exclusion zone is basically, in the general premise, it gives that specific area that you imply the exclusion zones on, it gives that specific area a little bit more security. So basically, for example, this is not exactly what anybody else does or exactly what we do. I'm just going to give you a prime example. So if you imply a exclusion zone on an area, you could say, well, you know, there's less trespass, or there's more ability to trespass people if you're trespassed two or three times. Your third time's a charm, then you're excluded from that area for a time period, 90 days, 120 days, something like that. So what it does is it gives the police enforcement a little bit more teeth to make sure that area is a little bit more safe and a little bit cleaner. So it doesn't actually have to do target one specific person. It has to target people that do bad things in that area to protect the businesses, to protect the community in that area that exclusion zone is on. There's other things that can be added to that exclusion zone, but basically the premise is to give the police a little bit more enforcement power to keep that area. And
I would add that there are several cities who have implemented this successfully. And continue to have them. There are some cities that had them and repealed them. Those cities are, I believe, Portland and Eugene. But cities that continue to have them are cities such as Medford and Klamath Falls and Ashland. So a lot of Southern Oregon cities have explored these. And so we are looking into theirs to make sure that ours will fit for our community's needs, and look at how they've been tested in other communities to make sure it's right and to see if it's right at all for our community. But it is something that I believe the community would probably really like us to look into.
All right. Has Chief Hensman weighed in on this?
He's been in direct conversations, and he's been part of the conversation from day one. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Yeah, and it's just to reiterate what Victoria said, we're not reinventing the wheel. We're basically drawing from other successful communities in our area and throughout the state. And we look at a community and, you know, you go outside the city limits of Grants Pass, you go to another city and you come back and you're like, whoa, hey, XYZ city, their streets, they do this, they do that, you know, and constituents and people and counselors and myself, we go out and then we come back and we're like, hey, you know what? I like what XYZ city was doing. You know, how do we get to that point? Or, you know, you start digging into it and they've got two other ordinances that we don't have. And now we start to educate ourselves. Is that a good fit for our community? And it goes back to the same premise. I'm going to look at Victoria and I think she's going to say the same thing, to establish more control in our local community. So what our objective is.
All right. We're about to open, well, in June, and I understand everything is on schedule for the Parker's Place low barrier situation for the homeless. That should take the target off our back, as I understand it, in terms of complying with 3115.
Correct. We are, as a council, as a local body, we are monitoring that situation as best we possibly can. We feel, I mean, I want to be an opportunist or I want the glass half full.
Okay.
Person, I don't know if I use the right optimistic. I used the wrong language. So I want it to succeed. I think it will. Legally, the city, if the city wants to enforce its ordinance to not allow camping within public spaces and public areas, we have to have some place for them to go. we've gone through and had a legal court system of Oregon define the term objectively reasonable for us through lawsuits. So we have that legal definition of objectively reasonable. We have put forth funds to allow private organizations to fulfill that need for us. As soon as that need is fulfilled, then we believe that we have every right to fully enforce our no camping regulations within public spaces and public parks. So, you know, if I look at it from the layman's terms, somebody cannot camp in our Riverside Park. There's a place for them to go. That's what we've provided. Legally, we should be within the realm of abiding by HB 3115 and the term objectively reasonable.
All right. No doubt about it. I think I believe that the Parker's Place installation is going to be certainly a plus. I don't think it's going to be the panacea that everybody thinks, because I'm not sure everybody that is camping right now in our areas will go into this situation. What are our plans is that what we're talking about when we're talking about exclusion zones and giving the police more parameters to enforce not camping in public places?
Yeah. Specifically in the exclusion zones, the fit for an exclusion zone is the fact that we have and we need, everybody needs to acknowledge that one of our biggest economic drivers in this area is tourism. So if we're not doing what we can as a local government to protect that tourism business corridor to keep our economic drivers going and flourishing and prospering, then we're not doing our job as local government. So realistically, that's the main premise that I feel that, you know, trying to explore these exclusion zones, which basically would kind of help protect those areas that we see more tourism frequently going through and supporting. So with the parameters of always is going to be questions. I don't think the state actually has all the answers. That's why there's a huge, big push to not necessarily repeal HB 3115, because they tried that, it doesn't work. We just want it to be redefined. We want definition. If I had the crystal ball, if I had the magic three wishes, I would say that the state needs to go back and they need to define objectively reasonable within the law, as well as they need to close the back door of that law that allows everybody and anybody to sue a city or an organization. Because realistically, the vagueness of that law has the back door open for lawsuits to come forth to have the judicial system define that term objectively reasonable, exactly the way they just did it with the city of Grants Pass this last year. So we know that Oregon state legislation is not going to take away HB 3115, but we employ them to actually go decipher it, rip it apart, and redefine it so it's better and it's defined for every single community that it is implied in.
All right. Victoria, I get the impression you want to weigh in on this too.
I would just add it's a complicated issue. It's a frustrating issue for the public. It is something that our local communities need to have more control over, but are unable to because of state law. So that kind of goes back to what I was saying earlier about it. People need to have more control over their local community. And I would just, the only other thing that I was thinking as Mayor Scherf was talking was, it's a very important question to ask of people who are on the ballot in May. Would you further getting rid of 3115, it is possible to get rid of it with a new, you know, legislature and governor. But so people should be very interested in if the people they are voting for are up on that issue, and others that have to do with local control in government. So that's what you thought I wanted to weigh in. That's the thought that I was having at the moment.
All right. Well, Do you foresee anything changing in the legislature?
Oh, I'm very optimistic about it, yes.
All right. I could ask why, but I'm out of time here. All right. As a matter of fact, I am out of time, getting ready for news upcoming your way. We'll have more right after the top of the hour news, and we'll open the phone lines in. If you want to jot that phone number down now, it's 541-472-1270. You're listening to KAJO, Grants Pass, Oregon. Welcome back to the Tuesday Talk Show, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much for joining us. Just a brief announcement. We want to reiterate that we have contacted all of the candidates, all of the local candidates that you'll be seeing on your May ballot, and they have all agreed to appear here on KAJO Radio for an absolutely free 10-minute shot at convincing you that they deserve your vote. Those who begin on April 15th will go Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We'll get four per day going from 9:30 to 10:30, and we'll complete those just before your ballots are put in the mail to keep them make sure that you're an educated voter you sit down to fill out that ballot. We hope that you all will. In the meantime, though, we open our phone lines. The phone number is 541-472-1270. When you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live and let you hear your question or comment to our guest today. Our guest today from the Grants Pass City Council is Mayor Clint Sheriff and Councilwoman Victoria Marshall. And once again, welcome. We are certainly glad to have you all here. One thing that's coming up, and Mayor, we alluded to this earlier, that you are going back to Washington, D.C., and Victoria, feel free to weigh in on this. And the primary, as I understand it, the primary reason for this, and you and the Public Works Director, Mr. Kennedy?
Correct.
Are going back along with one of our
lobbyists.
Lobbyists.
Yep.
Looking for that right word.
That's okay.
Looking for the lobbyist to see if we can't reinstitute the BRIC grant for the water treatment plant. And we're ready to spend about $10,000 in order to do that. So we're betting $10,000 that we've got an opportunity to get a significant return. How big is this BRIC grant that we're going after, and what are the odds? Do we have any of that information?
So, yeah. So we actually as a city, we were actually awarded the BRIC grant through FEMA to help construction with
pay for almost half of it too.
Correct. And then what happened was an administrative change, federal administrative change, and you know, this is going to be a little bit of my personal interpretation with my education on this, is the federal administration changed over, a mandate came down to kind of slim and trim up the FEMA budget. Well, my interpretation is FEMA decided to cut all projects that they didn't really care about, which, you know, the BRIC grant was one of those projects. And so we, as a city, we lost that BRIC grant. Now, we then again scrambled. We found the funding that we needed, blah, 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 blah. Through my outreach to state legislators and federal legislators, specifically meeting with Cliff Bentz, I got some traction and some ideas that we could lobby to either, because they reopened the BRIC grant, and as a city we could reapply, but one of the parameters is you cannot have started construction. This is all pre-construction application. Now, since we had already started construction, we feel that we're at a hindrance. After conversations with some, state legislators and federal legislators, we feel that we might have an opportunity to get this over the threshold with reapplying with success, and or there's always been some conversations about some different funding that could shore up for us. So I truly believe in this pilgrimage, I guess you want to say, to the federal level. I believe that it could be successful. I'm being optimistic on this trip because of the groundwork and legwork that we've done ahead of time, specifically with Jason. Our public works director is amazingly educated on this. He's done a lot of outreach. We've done a lot of outreach. I personally have done a lot of outreach. So I think I'm positively optimistic that we could get some success out of this trip. So that's why one reason why I kind of lobbied for it, and I'm excited to do it.
And I would add that during the city council meeting when we voted on this, I brought up the fact that I thought Jason Kennedy should go, and because he knows this project.
You know, Jason's been on it since day one.
Yes, he has. Yeah. Yes, he has. And I really felt that he would be just the best person to send to really let our federal representatives know what it is we're doing, how we really need to get back that funding. And then I also brought up the fact that I thought it was important for the mayor to go as well because he represents our city. So I think the pair of them were the perfect two people to go. And I wish them luck. And you better go get that money,
yeah.
Mayor Scherr.
Well, and it's I mean, you can see this last short session of our state legislative session. We as a city, myself personally and some of the council members, we rallied together to get this money to come back from the state level. It was a lot of groundwork on my side from working with Chamber, Terry Hopkins at the Chamber, working with Main Street to get out there to get the testimony from our businesses and from our community to lobby for the Spalding Industrial Park and the rest of the money that we were trying to get. Luckily, we came up on the luck of the draw on the state legislation, even though it was a short session. Many state legislators I keep talking to, it seems like their premise of how funds are distributed is kind of like a merry-go-round or a lottery board, and we seem to have hit the number this time, so it was very good, but it's not to I have to give full credit out to the community and everybody that participated in testimony and lobbying for that, because I think it was very impactful. The fact that our business community came together so strongly and so quickly to get testimony up for that short session, it was pretty amazing. And everybody had the same mindset, is to push economic growth in our area. And luckily, you know, our lottery number came up very, very good, and we got some money, so it's all good.
We're hoping it comes up again.
Yeah, and right. We are hoping it comes up again because, you know, it would be a really good it would be so heartfelt to actually get federal acknowledgement. I guess is where it comes down to with me. You know, you can talk to people being a local politician myself, you know, I talk to other politicians and legislators, and it, you know, sometimes you take the words that fall out of their mouth with a grain of salt. I'm a more pragmatic. I kind of shoot from the hip, and I don't sugarcoat stuff too much for people. So, but I've learned how to read these guys, and I feel that specifically with my one-on-one with Cliff Bentz, I see a positive path forward on the federal level.
Positive path forward. Well, listen, I certainly appreciate your groundwork laying the steps that you need to take in order to get this grant. Pardon me for being a little optimistic, because I've heard Mr. Kennedy sit in that very chair right there and talk about this BRIC grant, and I knew it. I saw the look on his face when he told us that he couldn't get it.
Yeah.
So that all happened right here. Same seat that he always sits in.
Well, to correct you a little bit, though, we actually did get it.
We got it.
But then they took it away.
It was pulled back.
That was even worse.
Yeah.
That was even worse.
Yeah, he told both of us in that same chair that we got the grant, and it's going to be a great thing, and it's going to pay for about half.
Yep.
And then it went away.
Yeah.
And he told us that same thing. So you're obviously very optimistic, or you wouldn't be going.
Yep.
Do you have a percentage on what, how much luck we're going to have? Is it 90% done? Is it 80% done? Is it 50-50? Do you have a feel for that?
No, I'm not a betting man. I love to go to Vegas to eat and people watch.
Yes, I understand.
But,
okay.
But if I was a betting man, I put us upwards of 70-75%.
75%.
I just don't. I don't like I said. I like to be candid. I like to be forefront. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I think there's a strong chance 75%. So basically, if I come back with it, everybody's going to be happy. If we don't come back with it, then you know, at least I wasn't trying to glorify the fact that, you know, I live with rainbow lands and unicorns in my backyard.
Will we get the whole thing? Will we get a partial out? Do we know?
No, my gut feeling is that we are going to do two avenues. They're either going to give us a grandfather clause to reapply, because one of the premises of the application is that you cannot be in construction. It's pre-construction.
Right. We established that.
So we were already awarded. So that's one path. That's one path that would be great. We can reapply, and then we're, you know, the luck of the draw on that. The second path, which I'm pushing more on, is to find alternative funding to shore up what we kind of lost in establishing the awarding of the grant and then taking it away. Because there's a deficit that we have because of all the actions that happen. So I'm more positive on the second opportunity of getting some alternative funding to shore up that. If we are allowed to do, like, say, what I would be quoting a grandfather clause to reapply, even though we're in during construction, you know, we're still going to be in a grant pool, so we're not guaranteed. But that's two options that I'm shooting for, and I think the latter will be more fruitful.
All right,
odds on.
Let me throw this out to both of you right now. If we do get the grant, if we get the full grant or a partial grant, how's it going to affect my water bill?
Oh, well, positively.
So you have a great question, and I know that
that's
that question,
my job.
That's a question that everybody's going to want, and I do apologize, but I am focused on one thing at a time. So I'm focused fully on trying to go up and claw some money back. I actually haven't even entertained that yet, and I'm sure the council it's on their mind, and I'm sure they're going to be good diving into it. You know, my attention span is only so big, and so I'm just trying to keep it focused on one thing first.
Victoria, he just passed to you, didn't he?
Yes, he did. So I'm not going to say how positively it would affect your water bill, but it would be of positive effect.
It could, because, if we get that, that will affect likely what we're paying extra on our water bill.
Definitely, I know council would look to that, because it makes sense, and that's what we would want for our people.
Okay, go get him, Clint.
Thanks.
All right. We'll have more for you once again. Phone lines are open, 541-472-1270 is the number to call, and we'll be right back.
The Safer Josephine County Foundation.
Welcome back, everyone. Tuesday Talk Show in progress. Number to call us, 541-472-1270. If you have a question for Mayor Scherer, for Councilman, Councilwoman Marshall. There are a couple of areas that he needed to go into, and time has just flown by. But we did talk about the tourism just real briefly in the previous segment. And someone sent in a question here, says, how would you describe the city council's role in the community currently, and what's the council's specific goals for helping it better economically? That just came from a listener who sent that in.
Economic opportunity and expansion are things that we sort of have talked about today. With the Spalding Industrial Park, was that a grant that came through?
Infrastructure to bring that up.
So that will expand the opportunity for industry to come to the area. And, this is also a pretty good – there were a couple of other things that I wanted to make sure to mention, and I think they do pertain to what you're talking about, especially the North Star Urban Renewal Agency project. It is on Midland and 7th, that area. It's going to be a really wonderful opportunity for the community to come together and to decide what they want to have happen there. And so I really wanted to make sure.
That's the old hospital site.
Correct.
And we've got we do have an advocate right now, taking a survey on what should go there?
Yes, and I also wanted to mention that there is at the Fireside Event Center, which is 940 Southeast 8th Street, from 5:30 to 7 p.m., it will be open to the public, and that is April 16th for the North Star Urban Renewal Agency community meeting, and the public is encouraged to come and attend. And so that is going to be a really exciting opportunity to expand business. It's going to be a multi-purpose area, and with businesses and housing and just some mixed things that are going to bring some more economic opportunity. So that, once again, was April 16th, 5:30 to 7:30. You can look on the city's website to get the address again. But that is something that I wanted to make sure to mention. Expanding business and opportunity and tourism is really going to help our community. And so these are things that the council is focused on intensely. And what goes along with that is the issue that is still on people's mind, which is the issue surrounding homelessness. And so we talked earlier about solutions for that, the exclusion zones. So I believe that the council and the mayor, with the agenda setting it up, we are looking at multi-pronged approaches to make sure that we bring economic opportunity to the city.
Okay, I keep hearing about tourism and outreach in order to bring that tourism in, and we have some great things here to pull in. How are we going to reach them? Is it going to be single incidents, or is it going to be a long-term situation where we have something going on all the time, or is it just going to be single events?
Both, I believe. So we just awarded some Urban Renewal Agency grants to different agencies and operations in the city, like for Boatnik, the Active Club. Maybe Mayor could help me remember a few of the others. I didn't bring that with me. These are focused on tourism, to bring in tourism from people who live 50 miles or farther away. And last year, Boatnik was the biggest Boatnik that they have ever had. And so they want to expand their advertising to bring even more people in. And I know that our economic development, Dana Pierce was, and they had a committee that looked for different, and people applied for the Urban Renewal Agency grant for that exact purpose, to bring in more tourism. And there were some exciting opportunities for tourism that were brought up. I wish I had that in front of me. I'm sorry I don't. But I do know that the Active Club was one of them. And they looked at year-round events. So
certainly kudos to the Active Club. And Boatnik is an incredible festival, and second largest festival statewide, and it continues to grow. But that's one. Yes. That's just one. Art Along the Rogue is just one. And those are two great events, but they're just two events.
So what we are doing as a city is we're trying to I don't know if I use the right terms, but basically, instead of taking the burden of everything that happens during the tourism season, stronger tourism season during spring, summer, and fall versus winter, the city is kind of offloading some of those responsibilities to other organizations like Main Street. Visit Grants Pass is actually a direct arm of the city. And what it is it's a formula, or it's a premise, it's an activity log for the whole season, for the whole year. So it's not just one event, it's getting multiple events. Yes, you're going to see more events during the spring, summer, and fall, more in the summer because the weather permits. There's lots of winter events as well too. But what the city is focusing on is taking less of that responsibility and burden themselves, and allowing it to go into private organizations, nonprofit organizations within the area that is their main and only focus.
Right. What kind of other events are we talking about, Mayor? Can we name some?
Yeah, so we've got we're bringing back the 50s, 50s car cruise, and then there's also the regional car club is doing a second multi-day cruise.
That was one of them, yeah.
But yeah, Main Street is pulling back and trying to get back to the original, back to the 50s that was so popular over the years and kind of went away.
Now we still have two different organizations vying for those funds, though. Are they together, or are they in competition?
Well, we encourage them to work together, but you know, everybody has their own ideas, so I'm not going to be the facilitator to make everybody play nice together, but, you know, I think there is some organization.
But you give them the money.
Yeah. So basically we did. We gave them equal opportunity and we gave them equal portions. And,
I think one of the car shows is going to be focused on being downtown again. Yep. And the other will focus on being out at the fairgrounds.
I thought
both of them are going to be good for the community.
So what car show is going to be downtown? I thought that was just the cruise. Am I incorrect there?
It's a new...
So basically the main street back to the 50s is going to be more established in town.
Correct, yeah.
with cruise activities. And I apologize, I don't remember the other regional car shows. Their organization.
I really wish I would have brought their organization.
Classic Chevy's out at the fairgrounds.
Correct. So they had a foothold in the fairgrounds last year, and they're going to do that again. But they immerse themselves throughout the town with, I think they have two different nights that they do cruises. So there will be, you know, there's a lot of immersion within the town. But yeah, one organization is going to be focused downtown. The other organization is basically based out of the fairgrounds. But both car shows, cruises will have multiple night cruises through the old streets. It brings me back to when I was 16.
Will we have a downtown cruise like we've had before? That's the question.
That is what is – we don't have the true itinerary yet or the fixed itinerary, but that is the preliminary itinerary is to have multi-night cruises.
Multi-night cruises.
Up and down 6th and 7th Street like when we were in high school.
Closed off. Oh, no. I keep asking about the one that was closed off up and down. Will we have that one again, or is that one still – or is it just going to be everybody show up and drive?
You know, I'm not too sure yet because, like I say, we're still in preliminary itineraries, so I don't know exactly what the premises of those cruises are going to be yet.
Okay. I have lots of other questions, but lots going on in our town right
Absolutely.
Now.
Absolutely.
So, I have a few other events, too, that fit.
I'll give you 2 minutes.
All right. Well, I just very quickly, hopefully I will do it in less time than that. There was a rebuilding survey, and it was closed, and the council will hear about the survey results from the public on May 18th, and that had to do with saving the historic building in Riverside Park. So I know people were asking about that, so we will find out about what those survey results were on May 18th. And also, very exciting, so here's some more good things. The band shell in Riverside Park is started, that has started, and the completion date is scheduled for May 15th, of course. So that's coming up really quickly. And the Owl Plaza, G Street, is open back up. 5th Street remains closed. But that project is scheduled to be completed July 1st. And so it was 2 weeks ahead of schedule that G Street opened. So that was really good for the businesses.
All right. One quick question there. Can you still buy a brick?
Yes.
I believe, yes, you can. Yes, you can.
Okay.
All right. So long story short is
Mayor, you got 2 minutes.
Yeah, long story short is all the construction that we've been living through is almost done. It's ahead of schedule in most places, and it'll be nice and cleared up. Yeah, 2 minutes. Lots of good things going on. Encourage everybody to get out and about during the spring and summer here. Support local. And then lastly, when back onto the urban economic development, we got some state money for infrastructure rebuild for Spalding Industrial Park. What that does is it takes a burden off any developer that wants to come in and have to upgrade the sewer system, because the back end of Spalding is lower than the top end of Spalding and sewer doesn't go uphill. So we actually have the money to put that infrastructure in, which takes the burden off any developer. So we're putting that on the airwaves. Any developer, we have industrial land available and ready to develop.
And this is one of the things that's been holding Spalding Industrial Park back. It's
Correct.
Going to be in place probably by the end of the year.
Correct. Yeah, I don't know the time schedule on the construction, but basically that's just the word is anybody that wants to come in, put industrial, manufacturing, and so forth, you're not going to have that burden to rebuild the sewer system because we're going to have it in place.
Pick your space right now.
Yep, exactly.
Mayor, have a good trip.
Thank you, sir.
All of you, stay tuned. Once again, coming up April 15th, all of the candidates will be appearing here in 10-minute segments on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, beginning April 15th. You've been listening to the Tuesday Talk Show. I'm Chuck Benson reporting.
Are you ready for this week?